They expand in our fancy to the gigantic size of Asia, which had been trampled under the feet of the victorious Greeks. But the subjects of the Byzantine Empire, who assume and dishonour the names both of Greeks and Romans, present a dead uniformity of abject vices, which are neither softened by the weakness of humanity, nor animated by the vigour of memorable crimes. The freemen of antiquity might repeat with generous enthusiasm the sentence of Homer, that on the first day of his servitude, the captive is deprived of one half of his manly virtue. But the poet had only seen the effects of civil or domestic slavery, nor could he foretell that the second moiety of manhood must be annihilated by the spiritual despotism which shackles not only the actions, but even the thoughts of the prostrate votary. By this double yoke, the Greeks were oppressed under the successors of Heraclius. The tyrant, a law of eternal justice, was degraded by the vices of his subjects. And on the throne, in the camp, in the schools, we search, perhaps with fruitless diligence, the names and characters that may deserve to be rescued from oblivion. From these considerations, I should have abandoned without regret the Greek slaves and their servile historians, had I not reflected that the fate of the Byzantine monarchy is passively connected with the most splendid and important revolutions which have changed the state of the world. The space of the lost provinces was immediately replenished, with new colonies and rising kingdoms. The active virtues of peace and war deserted from the vanquished to the victorious nations. And it is in their origin and conquests, in their religion and government, that we must explore the causes and effects of the decline and fall of the Eastern Empire. Nor will this scope of narrative, the riches and variety of these materials, be incompatible with the unity of design and composition. As, in his daily prayers, the Mussulman of Fez or Delhi still turns his face towards the Temple of Mecca, the historian's eye shall be always fixed on the city of Constantinople. The excursive line may embrace the wilds of Arabia and Tartary, but the circle will be ultimately reduced to the decreasing limit of the Roman monarchy. The Emperor Heraclius had punished a tyrant and ascended his throne, and the memory of his reign is perpetuated by the transient conquest and irreparable loss of the eastern provinces. After the death of Eudocia, his first wife, he disobeyed the patriarch and violated the laws by his second marriage with his niece Martina. And the superstition of the Greeks beheld the judgment of heaven in the diseases of the father and the deformity of his offspring. But the opinion of an illegitimate birth is sufficient to distract the choice and loosen the obedience of the people. The ambition of Martina was quickened by maternal love, and perhaps by the envy of a stepmother. And the aged husband was too feeble to withstand the arts of conjugal allurements. Constantine, his elder son, enjoyed in a mature age the title of Augustus. But the weakness of his constitution required a colleague and a guardian, and he yielded with secret reluctance to the partition of the empire. The Senate was summoned to the palace to ratify or attest the association of Heracleonas, the son of Martina. The imposition of the diadem was consecrated by the prayer and blessing of the patriarch. The senators and patricians adored the majesty of the great emperor and the partners of his reign, and as soon as the doors were thrown open, they were hailed by the tumultuary but important voice of the soldiers. After an interval of 5 months, the pompous ceremonies which formed the essence of the Byzantine state were celebrated in the cathedral and the hippodrome. The concord of the royal brothers was affectedly displayed by the younger leaning on the arm of the elder, and the name of Martina was mingled in the reluctant or venal acclamations of the people. Heraclius survived this association about 2 years. His last testimony declared his two sons the equal heirs of the Eastern Empire, and commanded them to honour this widow, Martina, as their mother and their sovereign.
But Martina was not to survive long as empress. The populace forced her to step down in favour of Constantine III, whose reign lasted but 103 days. Thereupon, Martina again assumed the purple robes of the emperor, but as Gibbon writes, the incestuous widow of Heraclius was universally abhorred, and Constantine's two orphan children became